ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारम श्रीमद् भगवद गीता चैप्टर 13, चैप्टर एंटाइटल्ड नेचर द एंजॉयर एंड कॉन्शियसनेस। टुडे वी विल बी रीडिंग टेक्स्ट 15। सर्वेन्द्रिय गुणाभासम् सर्वेन्द्रिय विवर्जितम् असक्तम् सर्वभृत्चैव निर्गुणम् गुणभोक्तृच। 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 सर्व ऑफ ऑल इंद्रिय senses, guna of the qualities, abhasam, the original source, sarva, all, indriya, senses, vivarjitam, being without, asaktam, without attachment, सर्वभृत द मेंटेनर ऑफ एवरीवन, च आल्सो, एव सर्टनली, निर्गुणम विदाउट मटेरियल क्वालिटीज, गुणभोक्तृ मास्टर ऑफ द मास्टर ऑफ द गुणस, च आल्सो। Translation: the super soul is the original source of all senses, yet he is without senses. He is unattached, although he is the maintainer of all living beings. He transcends the modes of nature, and at the same time, he is the master of all the modes of material nature. Purport: the Supreme Lord, although the source of all the senses of the living entities, doesn't have material senses like they have. Actually, the individual souls have spiritual senses, but in conditioned life, they are covered with the material elements, and therefore, the sense activities are exhibited through matter. The Supreme Lord's senses are not so covered. His senses are transcendental, and are therefore called nirguna. Guna means the material modes, but his senses are without material covering. It should be understood that his senses are not exactly like ours. Although he is the source of all our sensory activities, he has his transcendental senses, which are uncontaminated. This is very nicely explained in the Shvetashvatara Upanishad 3.19, in the verse Apanipado Javano Grahita. The Supreme Personality of Godhead has no hands which are materially contaminated, but he has his hands and accepts whatever sacrifice is offered to him. That is the distinction between the conditioned soul and the super soul. He has no material eyes, but he has eyes. Otherwise, how could he see? He sees everything, past, present and future. He lives within the heart of the living being, and he knows what we have done in the past, what we are doing now and what is awaiting us in the future. This is also confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita. He knows everything, but no one knows Him. It is said that the Supreme Lord has no legs like us, but He can travel throughout space because He has spiritual legs. In other words, the Lord is not impersonal. He has His eyes, legs, hands and everything else. And because we are part and parcel of the Supreme Lord, we also have these things. But His legs, hands, eyes and senses are not contaminated by material nature. Bhagavad Gita also confirms that when the Lord appears, He appears as He is by His internal potency. He is not contaminated by the material energy because He is the Lord of the material energy. In the Vedic literature, we find that His whole embodiment is spiritual. He has His eternal form called Satchit Ananda Vigraha. He is full of all opulence. He is the proprietor of all wealth and the owner of all energy. He is the most intelligent and is full of knowledge. These are some of the symptoms of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is the maintainer of all living entities and the witness of all activity. As far as we can understand from Vedic literatures, the Supreme Lord is always transcendental, although we do not see His head, face, hands or legs, He has them. And when we are elevated to the transcendental situation, we can see the Lord's form. Due to materially contaminated senses, we cannot see His form. Therefore, the impersonalists who are still materially affected cannot understand the personality of Godhead. The super soul is the original source of all senses, yet He is without senses. He is unattached, although He is the maintainer of all living beings. He transcends the modes of matter, the modes of nature, and at the same time, He is the master of all the modes of material nature. So while I was reading this verse, I was struck that this verse is so much similar to another verse from one of the Upanishads. In Sri Ishopanishad, we have another verse. I'll just briefly describe it. Tad ejati, tan naijati. Tad dure, tad vantike. Tad antarasya sarvasya, tadu sarvasyasya bahiyataha. So what does this verse say? The Supreme Lord walks. Actually, Prabhupada makes a reference to this particular verse from Ishopanishad in the purport. So this verse says, the Supreme Lord walks and does not walk. Tad ejati, tan naijati. Then, He is far away, tad dure, but He is very near as well, tad vantike. And third part, He is within everything, tad antarasya sarvasya. He is within everything, and yet He is outside of everything, tadu sarvasyasya bahiyataha. So, very much similar to today's verse in the sense that every line of the shloka is seemingly a contradiction. So today's verse, what does it say? Sarvendriya gunabhasam. Sarvendriya gunabhasam. That means, what is the translation? The super soul is the original source of all senses. We have different sense objects, sense organs, the sense of sight, sense of smell, sense of touch, sense of taste, sense of hearing. We have so many sense organs, sense objects. For each organ there are respective sense objects. So of all these senses, the super soul, Paramatma, is the source, original source. Sarvendriya gunabhasam. Okay, so next line. Sarvendriya vivarjitam, immediately it says, yet He, that is the Paramatma, is without senses. So he is the source of senses, original source of all senses within this world that we see. But immediately it says Sarvendriya Vivarjitam. Immediately it says, the verse says that, but that super soul, that Paramatma is without senses. Like we just read. Tadejati, tannaijati. He walks, but he does not walk. Then, next line, asaktam. Asaktam means without attachment. That means he is not attached to anything. He is not possessive. He is not attached. But immediately what he says? Sarva bhrut chaiva. Asaktam, sarva bhrut chaiva. That means, sarva bhrut chaiva means, he is the maintainer of everyone. Now we have experience even in this world. Like, we may have one car and we very lovingly maintain it, you know, regularly send it to the service station to get the oil filter and all the air filter, all these cleaned, oil to be topped up, air to be filled properly in the tires, you know. So we regularly maintain it. Why? So regular maintenance helps us in the sense that it doesn't cause much expenses later on. And the car works very nicely and smoothly. But when we park our car in front of our house or wherever we stay, so in that parking area, there are so many other cars also. Do we take care of maintenance of all the cars just because they are parked along with our car? No. We are only interested in maintenance of our own car. Why? Because there is some attachment, there is some connection between that car and yourself. So therefore you are interested in only maintaining that particular car. Even though there is exactly same model, same color, same manufacturer, same everything same, another car standing next to your car. But you will know, you are not interested in maintaining that car because there is no attachment. There is no connection between that car and you. So therefore, when you are maintaining something, there is obviously, there is has to be some sort of an attachment. But here we read, asaktam sarva bhrut chaiva. That means the Lord is unattached. He is not attached to this living, this material world. But still, he is unattached, although he is the maintainer of all the living beings. He is the maintainer of all the living entities, but still he is unattached. There is no attachment. And third is, next line says, Nirgunam guna bhoktracha. It said that he is Nirgunam. Now this particular word Nirgun is a much maligned word. Especially in Indian philosophical circles, Nirgun is a word which is very much misunderstood and misinterpreted. What is meant by Nirgun? Prabhupada is always given lot of emphasis on explaining this word, what is meant by Nirgun. So Prabhupada says, Nirgunam, so we'll come to that word, but just for one moment. Nirgunam, that means he is beyond the modes of material nature. And then Guna Bhoktracha is, he is master of the gunas. So, somebody who is beyond, then obviously it is master. But then, all these words when you see, Sarvendriya Guna Bhasam, Sarvendriya Vivarjitam, they are contradictions. So, it is so inconceivable for us, that how is it possible? And why such complicated language? So, one small example, Srila Prabhupada always explains, very small example, which we see, I am sure every one of y'all has seen in your day-to-day life. So, when everyone in your house, you must be having, most of y'all must be having refrigerator. And I am sure quite a few of you all also must be having an oven. Now both these appliances run on electricity. Both these appliances are powered by electricity. Okay? But when you switch on the machine, one of the machines, the same electricity causes the interior of that machine to become very cold. And water freezes, becomes ice. Same electricity applied to another machine and the machine is switched on, the interior becomes very hot. If you keep water inside it, it will start boiling and it will vaporize. Same electricity we are seeing in action, but what is the difference? The way the two machines are wired, the internal wiring and the internal circuitry and all other things are wired in such a way that same input power gives you two different results. So therefore, even though the Lord about whom we are talking here is the same individual person, but still apparently when we are discussing about his qualities, we see these contradictions and we wonder how can it be the same person. But this thought never comes to our mind. How can it be the same electricity? Maybe for refrigerator there is some different electricity coming. We never think like that. It is the same electricity coming from the powerhouse, from the meter. So, even in our material world here itself, we can see that same one force, one particular type of force, can produce two different results. Then why not the Supreme Personality of Godhead? Why cannot he have all these sort of different qualities which seemingly to our tiny intelligence seems to be contradictory? So, the Lord, he is the origin of everything. So, here Srila Prabhupada very clearly explains what is this meant by Nirguna. The supreme senses, the Supreme Lord senses are Nirguna. Now, Guna has two meanings. Guna means qualities that we generally know. Guna. But Guna also has another meaning, and that is meant by the meaning is material modes. Material modes means the different modes in which you operate or which you are influenced, all your actions are influenced by. Those modes are mode of goodness, mode of passion and mode of ignorance, or what we know as sattva guna, rajo guna and tamo guna. So these three gunas, so guna also means these three gunas. So generally a living entity in this material world is influenced by these three modes of material nature. Jai Shri Radha Gopinath Bhagwan ki, Jai Shri Gopal Ji Bhagwan ki, Nitai Gaur Chandra ki, Jai. So, a living entity in this material world, he is influenced by these three modes and he is controlled, and every activity that the living entity performs in this material world is controlled and influenced by the three modes, that is mode of goodness, passion and ignorance, and a permutation combination of these three modes. But when we say that the Lord is Nirguna, that doesn't mean that Nirguna as in without any qualities. That means, when we say that the Lord is Nirguna, that means Nirguna as in the Lord is transcendental to these material modes. That means he is beyond these material modes, he is not influenced by the material modes of nature, by sattva guna, rajo guna or tamo guna. His activities are not controlled by these modes. And that is what we mean when we say he is Nirguna. Not that he is not any qualities. So Prabhupada makes it very clear right at the beginning of this purport. What is meant by Nirguna? The Supreme Lord's senses are not covered. His senses are transcendental and therefore are Nirguna. Guna means material modes, but his senses are without material covering. So, his senses are without material covering. The Lord has senses, but they are not material. In fact, the Lord is completely spiritual. As Prabhupada mentions in the further, in the purport, he says, the Lord is Sat Chit Ananda Vigraha. Is completely spiritual. So therefore, with these material senses, our material senses made up of 5 gross elements and 3 subtle elements. 5 gross elements are air, fire, water, ether and earth. I don't know the order, I forgot. But these 5 elements, earth, water, fire, air, ether. So these 5 elements make up the gross body, what we can see. Also, within this body, which is inhabited by the individual spirit soul, the spiritual spark, there are 3 subtle elements which make up this body, and they are mind, intelligence and the ego, the false ego. So these 3 elements are subtle elements and 5 elements gross elements. Now even within this body we have the experience that with these gross elements, this body which is made up of gross elements of earth, water, fire, air and ether, we cannot see the subtle elements. We cannot see the 3 subtle elements which are part of this gross body, which are part of this body, material body. But with the gross elements, we cannot see the even the subtle elements which are part of this material body. We cannot see intelligence. We can only see signs of intelligence. We can see that a person is intelligent by his actions. But if I tell, okay, this person is a very intelligent person, so show me where is your intelligence. Show me where you have hidden your intelligence. Or where is your intelligence, where you store it. Somebody is very high IQ level. Or somebody is a very champion chess player in the world. Kasparov or whoever is current. Vishwanathan Anand, Vladimir Kramnik. You get any of them, very highly intelligent people. People accept that these are highly intelligent people. Intelligence is, they have a lot of intelligence. So ask them, you quantify, okay, where is your intelligence? You have how much intelligence? Show me, where do you hide it? So you cannot see it. Even with this material body, within this body, you have mind. Okay, where is your mind? You can see the actions of your mind. You can feel the mind driving you crazy, which is happening more and more nowadays. But we can feel the actions of these subtle elements of mind, intelligence and false ego, of course. You know, otherwise why would say, this is mine, this is mine. Everything is the Lord. So we can see the symptoms, we can see the signs of the presence of these subtle elements within this material body. These subtle elements like mind, intelligence and false ego are there within this body. We can see only the symptoms. We cannot see the subtle elements within our body. Within this material body that we have, apart from the gross elements like earth, water, fire and air and ether, we cannot even, fire we cannot see actually. We can only perceive it. Fire is present within our body in the form of fire of digestion. We can only perceive it when we feel hungry. But can you show me, okay, show me, fire means our idea is a flame burning. Show me fire within your body. You stand in front of, when you are feeling hungry, even if you stand in front of an X-ray machine, you won't see fire inside. You know, a big flame, you won't see. So even the gross part is not visible. So within this material body, we have 8 elements, 5 gross and 3 subtle, and we are not able to see the subtle and some of the gross elements within this body, then how we can see with these material senses? Because this body and the sense organs are made out of material nature, then with these material senses, if we cannot see the material elements, the subtle elements within our own body, how we can see the Lord, who is completely spiritual, who is completely made up of spirit? It is impossible. And so therefore, the Lord out of his causeless mercy. Just like I remember one story, one time a father, a father was walking in front of our temple from the courtyard, and he had brought his small son, maybe 3-4 years old son, with him to the temple. So the both of them were walking, and suddenly the child, he tugged on his father's hand and he said something. I was watching from the balcony upstairs. And then the father, he sat down completely, and he sat down, and then he lifted the son and put him on his shoulder. And then again they started walking. The son sat on the shoulder of his father. So now we can just sit, analyze this particular event. The small child, 4-5 year old child, is so small, he wants to sit on his father's shoulder and go. But he cannot fulfill that desire by himself. He cannot climb onto his father's shoulder by his own power. He doesn't have the power to do it. He doesn't have the ability to do it. So therefore, his father, because of his loving relationship with his son, he kindly sits down and brings himself to a position where the son can climb onto his shoulders. So similarly, as I was describing, we in our present body's material situation, we do not have the capability to see the Lord in his spiritual form, in his Satchidananda Vigraha form. So the Lord, out of his causeless mercy, he agrees to come down to a level where we will be able to see him even with these material senses. We will be able to perceive him, we will be able to serve him even with these material senses. So it is said, Atasri Krishna Namadi na bhaved grahyam indriyai. So Atasri Krishna Nam Adi. Nam Adi means his name, his form, his pastimes, his paraphernalia, all these other things. Nam Adi. Adi means etc. Atasri Krishna Nam Adi na bhaved grahyam indriyai. It is not possible to understand, to perceive these things through the material senses, indriyai. So therefore, the Lord, like the father which I was talking about, he comes in the form of archa vigraha. He causelessly, out of his causeless mercy, he agrees to appear in a material form of stone, metal, wood, different elements are used. But the Lord agrees to appear in that form so that with our material senses we are able to perceive him, we are able to serve him. So Krishna, there are some people in this world, they say that no, if you are worshipping this particular form, you are worshipping this stone, this marble stone, so what I will do? I will go and worship big mountain. So this is just small marble stone. I am worshipping such big God. So it is so foolish. Because when we are talking about God in the form, he has agreed to come in the form of archa vigraha. Not just on the demand of some Tom, Dick or Harry. There is a very specific procedure which is explained in the Vedic scriptures, how a particular, it is so detailed that even it is explained which particular stone you can use. Not any stone you pick up on the road and that can be carved into any deity. No. And after that entire procedure, technical procedure is followed, when the deity is made, after that, a very special pure devotee of the Lord invites the Lord, invokes the Lord, what we in India call as Prana Pratishtha, the Lord to come and reside, please come and stay here, so that your devotees can serve you, so that your devotees can perceive you. So, we cannot see these subtle things. Like, for example, we have experience that sometimes some person we know very well, just few days ago we have met them and we have talked to them, and suddenly we get the information that they had some maybe massive heart attack or something, and because of that they have died. So we go to their house immediately and we see that the body is there, the person's body is there, right there. But still, what do we say? That he is no more, he has left. And then that particular, it becomes called by so many different names, the body, dead body, cadaver, so many other things. But he is no, that there is no longer, that particular body is no longer addressed as a person. So what is missing? Missing is the spiritual spark, the spirit soul which animates that body. But we cannot see these subtle things. Like some people, as I said, they say, if you can worship this small stone, I will worship a big, huge rock, and that is the same. Why you need to have a form carved out of it? No, no, no. So this is foolish mentality. Because unless any Tom, Dick and Harry, he says, Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, he says, avajananti mam muda manushim tanum ashritam. So Krishna says, those who are fools, they call, when I come into this world in the human form, taking a body like a human being, then they consider me an ordinary person just like anybody else. And this is the activity of fools. So we have to see, we have to say that we cannot see with these material senses, and therefore the Lord, out of his causeless mercy, he comes within the Archa Vigraha form. Like one of our Acharya prays, one of our Acharyas prays that Pratima Nahi Tumi Sakshat Brajendra Nandan. He says, you are not just a form which is carved in stone or metal or wood, but you are Sakshat Brajendra Nandan. You are actually the son of Brajendra, the son of Nanda. You are actually that personality who has now come before me in this form. Actually, it just requires us to modify our vision. Like in the Brahma Samhita, it is said, Premanjana Churita Bhakti Vilochanena Santa Sadaiva Rudayeshu Vilokayanti. So the saintly personality, Santa, Santa Sadaiva Rudayesha Vilokayanti. That means the saintly personalities are constantly enjoying or constantly seeing the form of the Lord within their hearts. And what is their medium? How are they doing it? Premanjana Churita Bhakti Vilochanena. By applying on their eyes Prema Anjan, the salve of love. Premanjana Churita Bhakti Vilochanena, and the salve of love and devotion they are applying on their eyes. And by that, their vision is transformed, that they can constantly see the form of their Lord within their heart. So it is just a matter of transforming the vision. Just like even in this world we have experience, those who are science students or those who have studied science sometime in their life. If you take a drop of tap water, just take a drop of tap water on your hand, it is clear, no problem. Now take that same drop of tap water on a glass slide and keep it under a microscope, especially the condition that Mumbai pipelines are in. I am sure you will see many things which are not visible with your naked eye. You will see so many microorganisms who are swimming around in that particular drop of water as if it is the entire ocean. So many microorganisms, as if you can see, you know, it's the entire ocean. and so many microorganisms are there, which when you see with your naked eye, they are not visible. So what has made those sudden, is it that those microorganisms have suddenly appeared or suddenly they have made their existence from nowhere? No, they were always there in that particular drop of water. Only thing is, you have modified your vision. You have placed in front of your eyes a microscope and you are observing through that microscope. So similarly, our senses are not equipped right now to see the Lord. But with the right kind of adjustment or vision modification, it is possible to see the Lord, to serve the Lord. So, he is not nirakar. So, what is this vision modification that is needed? So, this particular verse which I mentioned, Atas Sri Krishna Namadi Na Bhaved Grahiyam Indriye. So, Atas Sri Krishna Nam, Rupa, Guna, the qualities, the activities, the form, the paraphernalia of the Lord, Nam Adi, Atas Sri Krishna Nam Adi, Na Bhaved Grahiyam Indriye. We will not be able to understand them, we will not be able to perceive them through the material senses, these Indriye, material senses. Then what? Sevon mukhe hi jivhadav. Sevon mukhe hi jivhadav. So just by serving through the sense of jivha. Sevon mukhe hi jivhadav. You start your service to the Lord through the sense of the tongue. And what will happen? This love of Godhead, which is dormant within our heart, which is already there within us, only that it needs to be kindled, it needs to be reignited. Sevon mukhe hi jivhadav, just by doing service through our tongue, swayam eva hi spuratyada, automatically swayam eva hi spurat, it will get spurti, spuratyada, and it will get ignited immediately. And how do we serve with this tongue? We serve through our tongue by tongue as, see, very, you know, very one of the unique things. If we observe, we have our various sense organs. Of the various sense organs, mostly we have two of them. Eyes, two. Nostrils, two. Ears, two. Skin all over the body. But we have only one tongue. And the funny part is, all these sense organs which we have two of, they have only one activity. That is, eyes see, ears hear, skin touch. What else? Nose, nostrils too, but only smell. But tongue, funny thing, only one, but there's two activities. One organ, but two activities. All other organs are two, but activity is one. What are two activities of the tongue? Yes? Eating and speaking. So, sevon mukhe hi jivhadav. So, we begin our service to the Lord by engaging in service to the Lord, by engaging our tongue in service to the Lord. And how do we engage? Both the activities which the tongue performs, we engage both these activities in the service of the Lord. So, by eating only those foods which are offered to the Lord and then sanctified by being offered to the Lord, it becomes prasad. So, whatever we eat has to be prasad. Even Krishna says in the third chapter, Yajna Shikshasina Santo Muchyante Sarvakil Vishay Bunjate Te Twagham Papa Ye Pachante Atma Karanat. So, what does Krishna say? Yajna Shikshasina Santo. So what is offered as a sacrifice to me? Yajna. What is offered in sacrifice? Yajna Shikshasina. That means the remnants of the foodstuffs offered in sacrifice to me. Yajna Shikshasina Santo. Muchyante Sarva Kilbishai. If we honor the remnants of the foodstuffs offered in sacrifice to me, then Muchyante Sarva Kilbishai, all the Kilbisha will be destroyed. And Bhunjate Te Tvagham Papa, those who do not do so, they only eat sin. That means if you have not offered it to the Lord, if you eat something which is not offered to the Lord, then it is sin. So therefore, first we have to begin our devotional service to the Lord through the tongue by eating only everything, whatever we eat has to be offered to the Lord. And second thing, we have to use this tongue to chant the holy names of the Lord. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So, Atha Sri Krishna Namadi na bhaved grahiyam indriyai, but sevon mukhehi jivhadav swayam evahi spuratyada. So, if you begin this service just by engaging first your tongue in the service, both the activities which the tongue performs, we engage both of them in the service of the Lord. Then automatically the devotional service, the attitude, the vision modification will begin from within. Swayam eva is puratyada. And then we can go one step ahead, and that is Krishna says in 9th chapter, Patram Puspam Phalam Toyam Yome Bhaktya Prayachati Tadaham Bhakti Uparitam Ashnami Prayatatmanaha. So what does he say? You can offer me a leaf, patram, one flower, pushpam, phalam, one fruit, or toyam, not all others, you may have to buy, you know, you may have to buy patram, you may have to buy a leaf, flower, fruit, you may have to purchase, you may not have the purchasing power, water, at least offer me some water. But patram, pushpam, phalam, toyam, not just, okay, theek hai, I have to give you, so I just keep one, no. Yome bhaktya prayachati, with love and devotion. So, what does Krishna accept? Is Krishna hungry for the foodstuffs that we offer? Is Krishna thirsty for the water we offer? No, what does he offer? Tadaham bhakti upaharitam. I accept that love and devotion with which you offer me these objects. And I then honor, and I eat them. Ashnami parayatatmanaha. So we can go there. And then also we have further Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu. We can engage our ears in hearing about the Lord. In fact, in Chaitanya Charitamrita it is said, in the conversation between Ramananda Rai and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Ramananda Rai says, Sthane sthita srutigatam tanuvan manobhir. Simply by hearing, we don't have to go so many here, there, so many places. Just sit in one place and hear about the transcendental qualities, pastimes, paraphernalia, devotees of the Lord. Sthane sthita shruti gatam. Hear, shruti. Tanu van manobhi. And in that way, just by hearing, we can engage tanu van manobhi. Tanu, tan means body, vak, tongue, and our mind, we can engage. So, also in Bhagavatam it is said, Srinvatam Swakata Krishna. So, by hearing about the pastimes, the qualities of the Lord, Srinvatam Swakata Krishna Punya Shravana Kirtanaha. What happens by such Srinvata Swakata Krishna Punya Shravana Kirtana? Ridyantasto Yabhadrani. All the Abhadra, all the unwanted things within the heart. So many unwanted things within our heart we carry. Lust, anger, greed, pride, envy. So many unwanted things are lurking within our heart. All these unwanted things. Abhadrani. Hridyantostha abhadrani. What will happen? Vidhunoti suhrut satam. They will be completely destroyed. Vidhunoti suhrut satam. So, most of you are coming here regularly to take darshan of the Lord. you come little early, you listen, you give your oral reception to hearing the message given by the Lord Himself in the form of this Bhagavad Gita. Actually, very soon, that is on Sunday 28th, a very important event is coming up, and that event is Gita Jayanti. This is the day when more than 5000 years ago on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, Lord Krishna spoke this particular knowledge of Bhagavad Gita to his friend Arjun. This particular Bhagavad Gita which Lord Krishna spoke to his, this knowledge which Lord Krishna spoke to Arjun is such a powerful knowledge, because these are words which came out from the, which actually the Lord spoke, not from here there. This is actually Lord spoke to his friend who was in a moment of calamity. He needed guidance, he needed direction. Completely bewildered by the material energy, he was standing there helpless and asking for guidance from his friend. And in such a situation, in such a calamitous situation, in such a dire need, Krishna spoke this knowledge which gave perfect understanding and enlightenment to Arjuna to carry out the task for which he was there at Kurukshetra. So therefore, this particular knowledge which is there in this book Bhagavad Gita is very much enlightening, and it is very nice that to see quite a few of you all come regularly and give submissive oral reception. So we have this Bhagavad Gita Jayanti, which is an anniversary which we celebrate every year, which is the day on which it's called Mokshada Ekadashi, and on that day Lord Krishna spoke this knowledge of Bhagavad Gita. So also we will be having one Gita Gyan Yajna on that day, and we would like to welcome all of you all to participate in this particular program, to give your time. I think it is a Sunday, so I am sure most of you all will be able to take some time out. Please do come. And by getting this knowledge, that is one way, when we hear the words spoken by the Lord, that is another way of performing this action of vision modification. Because as I said, by these material senses, we will not be able to see the Lord face to face. We are not qualified. I gave that example of drop of water. I place a drop of tap water on your hand and you'll feel, oh, it is nice, clear, transparent, no problem. But then you take that drop of water, put it on a glass slide, keep it under a microscope, and then see through that microscope. You have modified your vision, you see through the microscope and you see thousands of microorganisms swimming and floating in that particular drop of water. So where did they suddenly come? You have modified your vision. It's not that they suddenly appeared from nowhere. They were always there in that water. We could not see them. Similarly, the Lord, out of his causeless mercy, in order for the living entities in this material world to be able to serve him, to be able to see him through their material senses, agrees to come and reside in a material form, in the form of a stone or maybe metal or wood. But that does not mean that he is stone or he is metal or he is wood. He is completely spirit, and with these material senses we will not be able to see that spirit, the Lord in his original spiritual form. We will not be able to see him, and therefore we have to perform vision modification. And that we will be able to do only when we give submissive oral reception to the knowledge which the Lord himself has given in the form of this Bhagavad Gita. So I welcome all of you all to please come and attend our function on this coming Sunday of the Bhagavad Gita Gyan Mahayagya, and also participate in giving oral reception to the knowledge of this Bhagavad Gita, by which we can slowly develop our senses to be able to perceive the Lord in his original spiritual form. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. If you have any questions or queries, please, you may ask them. Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.